here together. So I appreciate the songs. And the first song talked about God and our devotions there as we think of God. We want to look at that also here tonight. But first of all, I'd like to have a theme song that we can think about as we go from here. As we think about the song, I'd like to turn our song, Hymns of the Church, to 569. Hymns of the Church, 569. This has been a favorite song of mine, one of my favorite songs. And I think it tells us what we want to learn this week as we think of revival. Revival is to, like Brother Dave said, to tip our ear, to hear what God wants for us in our life. What can I change? That's revival. What can I give? That's revival. This song here is I Learn to Know a Name. And as we close this chorus, it says it's the only name. And that's talking about Jesus. That's talking about our Savior. That's talking about the one that we are to exemplify. We are to be that little Christ. The only name I find salvation. There's no other name on earth has meant so much to me. Is that your testimony tonight? Is that what means so much to you? His name. I'd like to sing all three verses here tonight. You might not sing every verse each night. Depends a lot on the length of the message. Depends what the Lord has in store for us. But I hope we know this song. Everybody know this song? Good. Chorister, I asked you to lead it. Lead us, sing all three verses. And think of the words as we sing.
Precious name, beyond degree or measure.
Our message tonight, I've titled the message, and it's a very simple title, and it's probably, you think it's probably pretty elementary, and that's all right, and you'll find out this week I'm a pretty elementary preacher. I like to make it simple. The title is My View of God. Brother Dave bought out the in the devotions there of who God is. I would like to challenge you tonight, and we're going to look at a few character in the Bible, an Old Testament character in the Bible that, yes, made some mistakes because of his view of God. And that's what I'd like to revive us tonight, is to maintain, to grasp a hold of a view of a holy God. And how big God is. Church Bulletin says this. Listen as I read. Come join us for worship. You will feel better for it. Fails to recognize that worship is essentially all about. Admitting most worshipers anticipate that their church will lift their spirits and give them a rosy outlook on life. But that experience, whether found or not, cannot be aimed at worship. It is only a byproduct or a spin-off for the original intent. An encounter with him may be painful and entail a call to sacrifice, commitment, self-denial. In spite of the devaluing of holiness, which suggests God's apartmentness from the world and his infinite distinction from man. It is precisely this quality that gives to the Christian a true view of God. Therefore, the call is not so much, smile, God loves you, as repent, weep, tremble, for the precise reason given God's love expressed in Christ's cross, suffering, and victory is no cheap idea or weak sentiment. It can only be celebrated with reverence and wonder. That's the revival I want us to grasp. That's what I want us to view. I want us to view who God is and the holiness of God instead of this cheap, rosy feeling that God's just going to make me feel good. Yes, he will. But it's when we understand and realize how big and how holy God is, then's when we fall and we weep and tremble. Because we're human beings. And we cannot lose the view of who God is and how holy God is and how righteous God is and how just God is. What is my view of God? And I want to give you some challenges. Have I devaluated him to man's level? Smile. God loves you. I'm not saying it's a wrong statement. But have we devaluated him to our level? That's the punchline that I want you to think about. As you look at your own life in view of God, have we taken God in his holiness and his righteousness and his sitting on the throne and his creator that he is, and we have pulled him down to my level? We've devaluated. And that's the revival I want as we gather and we go for it. I see God on a horizontal level. Therefore, God sees why I do the things I do, and he's okay with it. Do you get that? God sees what I do and why
I do the things I do. And he's okay with it.
This is called, secularization. It's a modern attitude to life that calls in question some common assumptions that underlie the view of God. Tonight, I would like to lift our view of God to the highest level. He's not here. Yes, he can come down here, but he's not here. He's way higher than we are. He's holier than we are. He knows all more than we do. But far many times we pull God down to our level to help us to understand God. And you know what? In our finite mind, our human mind, I'm taking myself. That's why this holy word, we got it yet. It's because he's so deep. He's so all-knowing. He brings revival out of it. Even 65 years later. That's our God. And I'd like to lift that higher, that we can weep and we can tremble because of his love showed to us in his son's suffering. I would like to take a character in the Bible, and that is King David. I want to look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. We all say that, right? And he was. It's because how he related to his failures. And how he looked at God after he learned all these lessons. And then he seen the holy God. We want to look at some of those mistakes that he did. And then we want to finish up on how he viewed God at the close of his life. And how we are to look and see God through his eyes. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to start there. We're going to jump around in David's life, and we want to try to pick some of these things out, and we're going to look at a little bit on why he made some decisions that he did and what he did, and then bring it back and try to put some shoes on in 2025. And how we can make those same mistakes on how what David did in these many decisions was he brought God down to his level. That was a mistake. And God, we see God in his judgment for that. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to do a lot of reading here tonight. So if I see the clock is going to run too fast, then we'll cut out some reading. But first one, we only got about 5 or 6 points here. And the first one is found here in chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 11. And again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose. And went with all the people that were with him to Baalah of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelt between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abimelech that was in Gilgad. And Uzziah and Ahimo, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeon, accompanied the ark of God, and Ahimo went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on thimbles, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon, threshing floor, Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the ark shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah, and he called the name of the place Uzziah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Abinadab the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in Obed-edom the Gideonite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-edom and all his household. Once again, we ask the question, how did David view God? So this Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. We know the story. It was stolen. It was taken from them. And we know it didn't go good there for Philistines. So the Philistines put it in 2 milk cows and they just sent it home. They said, milk cows, you just take it. Get it out of here. Well, it came to this place Abinadab. And there they put it in his house. Well, David, as king, wanted it in his house. Wanted it back in his place. And so he took a new cart. And so David thought, this is my own thinking. This is, can you say, my JS's version? Why should I take all those priests back, all those miles, and carry this cart, this ark, back to where I belong? I'll just take a new cart. And I'll just load it up on a new cart and I'll bring it home. Well, we know the story would happen. That a man died. We see judgment there. God's view, David's view of God was brought down to his level. He thought, this is the way I'm going to do it. And God caused judgment, brought judgment. We know later on what he did. If you read later on, he did take those priests and brought it back the way God told him to bring it back. God says his ark is supposed to be carried, not on a cart. And that's the way God is. That's the holiness of God in that. So let's put some shoes on. Do we so many times think we can do things a little bit easier? Let's take one principle. Let's take the principle of modesty. How does God look at modesty? We know what God says in the Bible about modesty, right? We know about it. We know what he says. We live in a world that is going immodest after immodest after immodest. And we think it's pretty difficult to be modest. And we can look at this side of the house and we say, well, we want to look nice. And that's the way the world was. And so we tighten things up. We could go to this house. It's a lot easier to do it that way, right? It feels good. I think that's what David did here. It was easier to take the new cart. And so many times we bring it down, God, down to our level. We could go to this house and, well, you know, my pickup doesn't look very good. It has to have new wheels on it. It has to have big shiny wheels. It has to put big wheels on it. And the list goes on and on. Maybe us older men, we have to have a better house. Well, we want our business to flourish. We want people to notice.
That's what immodesty is. Is we want people to notice. And so we find it, it's easier to do that. It's easier to be a little bit of a rabbit and hound dog religion. Where the world just keeps going out, but we just keep following the world just way behind. It's easier. What is my view of God? God is still holding. God still stands where he stood way back in the beginning of time. God didn't move. But so many times we want to bring God down just a little bit. Ask the question, what is my view of God? Do we still have God in his lofty position? And there we weep and tremble and say, God, what did I say? We can only celebrate it in reverence and wonder. That's God. Let's go to another account of David, 2 Samuel chapter 24. So the account where he numbered the people. Second Samuel 24 verses 1 to verse 4. And then we want to look at 10 to verse 14. Now these be the last words. Next chapter 24, 23. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them, saying, go number Israel. Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now therefore, and all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, a hundredfold, that the eyes of my Lord, the king may see it. But why does my Lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captain of the host. And Joab and the captain of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Down to verse 10. And David's heart, this is after judgment, David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant that I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do unto thee. And I'm not going to stop reading there. And he gives out the verdict that pestilence or famine or whatever, famine, I'm not sure what the third one was, that you could choose from. And he chose the one that would not hinder the people. Once again, we ask the question, how did David view God? When he came to Joab and he said, Joab, you go out there and you number those people. And Joab came back to him and said, are you sure you want to delight? Are you sure this is what God wants you to do? And David said, go number. In other words, I don't care what God said. This is what I delight in. This is what I want you to do. God told him not to number the people this time. He could have thought, if we read before this, God told him to number the people. But this time he told him not to. Well, I did it at other times. It's not what God said, it's what I delight myself in. That's what David was thinking. I will do what I feel is right. Once again,
we see God, David, bringing God down to his level. It's not what God thinks, it's what I think. And how many times do we find that in our own lives? As we put our own shoes on, what about my pride? I'm the bishop. You do what I say you're to do. See that? And so many times we put our chest out. Or I'm the boss. And I want my glory to be shown. Bring God down to our level. What is my view of God? Or does this thing fall short? And I don't know where usually the church stand on social media. What about the statuses? Is it my glory? Is what I do? It's what I want everybody else to see, that this is what I've accomplished. And you know what? We always put what we do good on that. We don't put our failures on there. Feels good, right? What is my view of God? Do I want the glory? Do I want people to look at me? I believe that's what David wanted. David wanted to know what this number was. David wanted to be glorified in it. He delighted in it. But do we pull God down like God does not get the glory? Only I get it. That's my challenge. The next one is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is when David was supposed to be out to war. I know we're jumping around in his life, but that's all right. Second Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 9. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Roboth. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide, that David rose up out of his bed and walked upon the rooftop of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent, and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came into him, and he laid with her, and for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and then said, "I am with child." And David sent unto Joab, saying, "Send Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house, which all the servants of the Lord, and went not down to his house. Verse 27, to the judgment. And when the morning was past and the child had died, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, not after the child. Verse chapter 12 is whenever the verdict of judgment was. Once again, I asked you the question. I hope you don't get me tired of asking you the question. How did David view God in this account? He brought him down to his level. God don't know my heart. God doesn't know that. And he fell into sin. The question I believe that David was trying to convince himself is that I don't have to be involved with the battle. I'm going to stay home. Kings were supposed to be in battle. Kings were be out there with their people, not at home. Someone else can do the hard work. Someone else can do the hard work. Others can do it better than me. And that's why he brought Uriah in. And he asked, how's the battle going? Oh, it's going pretty good. What did it say? They conquered the Amorites? They defeated the Amorites? Therefore, I can satisfy my own desires. I can sit in my easy chair and do what I want to do. Anyone can get, and anyone that gets in my way, I remove them. You get that? Do you hear that? That's what David did. Somebody got in his road. And he removed him. And we can do that by slander. We can do that by gossip. We can do that by disrespect. We can do that by belittling. That's putting in our shoes. Once again, David's view of God brought it down to man's level. God doesn't know my heart. That's what he tried to convince himself. Until Nathan the prophet came to him. And there he told him that story about, in chapter 12, told him about that little lamb that poor man had. And how that rich man, instead of taking out of his own flock, slew the poor man's little lamb to give to the fair-faring man. David was irate, in my own words. David was upset. And David said, that man needs to die. Nathan the prophet looked at David and said, you're the man. God knew his heart. He tried to hide it. He tried to get the main man that knew the secret out of the way. And he did it. What about my life? What about commitment? David wasn't committed to battle. Are you committed to battle? Are you committed to be a warrior for Jesus Christ? Are you committed? Or do you say, I just don't have the words to speak? Or maybe, I don't know how. Or maybe somebody can do it better than I can. Maybe it's an office the Lord gives you within the church. And you say, no, I'm not good enough for that. Commitment. What about the attitude of submission? Submitting to one another. And whatever it is. And we can put all kinds of stuff there. bringing God down low. Well, we don't have the commitment because I'm looking at this man. And I'm not looking at a holy God. We're not looking at a God that can inspire, and a God I can't stand behind this pulpit if it wouldn't be for a higher God. I couldn't do it. A week of revival is just hard work. But I committed myself to Brother Dave when he called me and told me that, would you come for a week of revivals? And I said I would. If I looked at my own self, I would have called Dave up 2 weeks ago and said, nope, I can't come. Because I got other things to do, and I could be busier than ever. I could do all this week, all this week I could have worked. No commitment. Brothers and sisters, are we committed? Don't matter what it is. But because of our uncommitment, we have brought God down to our level. And we say, God, you're not big enough. You're not mighty enough. And that's what David was here. David was not committed to battle. He was not willing to submit himself to the work that the children of Israel were apt to do. And he stayed home. And he got himself into trouble. And then he tried to cover it up. And we do all the same thing. Once again, I'm asking you the question, brothers and sisters, tonight. What is your view of God? In commitment and in submission. Can you submit yourself to the work of the church? Can you submit to the work of the church, what the church has asked you to do? Are you unsubmissive and you brought God down right to your level? God, you're not big enough to help me to submit to what I don't want to do. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow night. But, praise God. Praise God for Psalms 51. Where in this situation, after Dathan revealed who the man was, and he had sinned, and he had brought God down to his level, that he put God right back up where he belongs. And brothers and sisters, that's what we call forgiveness. That's what we call repentance. That's what we call weeping and trembling. And you could read, and I'd like to take the time to read Psalm 51. And there where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me clean. And there you walk down through Psalms 51, and there all you see is weeping and trembling. For I believe David was way down on his knees and prostrate before a holy God over this account. And that's where we need to be. That's where God can work in our lives. And I believe that's where why yet today we understand that David is a man after God's own heart. It's because he wept and he trembled at his sin. Do we stand before holy God and weep and tremble because we sin? And that's where God can use us. And that's what we're going to see in our next one. And then we can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And here we see God, here we see David knowing the heart of God and understanding a view of a holy God and how he placed, where he placed God. And this is where I want each one of you and myself to place God. At the end of his life, and he told Solomon was ready to build his temple, God's temple. And David had a heart and he wanted to build that temple. And God said, you're not to build that temple. And you're not because you're a man of war. And you're not going to build that temple. And David says, let me have the chance. I'm just saying my own words. Give me the chance. I want to get all the material together for this building. I won't build it. I'll just get it all together. And my son can go for it. These are the words once he says here. Let's read from verse 10 to verse 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Verse 10 says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, O God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my name that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. All our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house, for thy holy name cometh in thy hand, and in all thine own is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and do all those things to build a palace for the which I have made provisions. This I love. And this is where I want to be. This is where I want each one of you to be. As your view of God, as you see his greatness. As David, at the close of his life, when he was about to die, pass off the scene, and let Solomon take over. And there he saw his God as greatness. There he saw his God as power. Do we see God as power? Dunamis. Do we understand that? Do we keep him right there? And to understand that he can help me in my commitments because he has power. Do we understand that he can help me in my submission because he's power? He is the victor. And he will be the victor. Is that how I see God? He also says he's majesty. Majesty. We can't get any higher. He's majesty. We notice also there as he closes, as he brought all these things in his position, these things that he brought there in verse 16. He says, I build thee an house, for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. David said, God, it's all yours. This house is yours. You supplied it and it's all yours. I only gathered it together, is what he's saying. He says, God has pleasure in uprightness. What's uprightness? It's godliness. It's holiness. It's right living like God wants to know. I learned to know a name above all measure. That's this God's son. He loves and he has pleasure in uprightness. He doesn't have pleasure in just God. Smile. God loves you. It's pretty weak. But he has pleasure in uprightness. And there we see the smile of approval. It does not simply come and feel good. It's when we weep and tremble before a holy God and understand my view of God. The things I gave all come from God. It's when I can view God this way. Then I got God in his proper place. But when we view God in our own level, we're going to fail. We're going to sin. We're not going to live uprightly. David didn't do it. Neither can we. But we need to keep God in his rightful place of greatness, of power. Not just say it. Our actions show it when David wrote Psalms 51. And there he fell on his knees weeping and trembling because of his sin. So my prayer is tonight that each one of us would see God in his rightful place. I feel led to give an invitation to him. I won't every night. Have you kept God in his rightful place? Or maybe you saw an area in your life where you have brought God down to your level. And you wonder why you're struggling. You wonder why you're falling in defeat. I beg you tonight, I want you to put God in his rightful place. And my view of God is greatness. It's holy. It's power. It's majesty. It's victory. If you're here tonight and you haven't found that, I ask you to stand to your feet. You're recognized, and I'm sure there's ministry brethren here that can counsel you, that you can find yourself realizing who God is. And my view of God is up there. What's those hymn be?
Number 734.
Number 734.